I do love that theme song.
What's your favorite thing about that theme song?
The when he says Andy.
Yeah. He says it a lot.
Yeah. Gotta love that theme song.
The theme song relegates me to simply giving out the phone number. That's the only role I play.
Well, you're the adjunct host.
Yeah. He says I'm handy for giving out the number that you call.
That's a compliment.
Yeah. It's not much of a compliment. But I do love the song. Thank you, John Dogg, for the theme song to Dinner at Andy's.
Just be lucky you were mentioned at all. Jesus. There's no pleasing you. Oh, I wasn't mentioned as much as Andy. Most people weren't mentioned at all. Ernest Borgnine, you know him, the actor? Not mentioned at all.
What role does he play in our show?
Shut up.
You know every time you tell me to shut up, I'm going to laugh.
I know. Because when you grew up, you were just the entitled little Kenny Friedman.
Right, nobody.
Nobody drew any boundaries, no guardrails.
That's true. Nobody told me to shut up.
That's right. And here you are.
At home, anyway.
Yeah.
At school, people told me to shut up all the time.
But you didn't, did you?
No.
You showed them. And now look at you. Babbling away.
Shut up temporarily, maybe.
14 hours a day. Babbling away to whoever will listen. Well, whoever has a computer or a radio.
I don't need anybody to listen.
Yeah, you don't need anyone to listen.
Yeah.
As long as they pledge money, their hard-earned money, twice a year. They don't have to listen. That's our policy here. You don't have to listen. As long as your check clears, we don't care.
It's the people who listen all the time that I really worry about.
The people that don't turn off the station?
Yeah. Hey, thanks for showing up this week. That's really cool that you showed up to your own radio show.
It is literally the least I can do. I made a list of things I can do for you, and this is the least I can do.
All right, let's go to the first call.
No, we don't have a way. We didn't even talk about our topic. We didn't do any foreplay.
I just want to know who's the singer. Who sings your theme song?
John Dogg.
John Dogg, I think, wrote the lyrics and then did the vocals.
Yes.
Oh, cool. It sounds like Andy Williams. It's like an Andy Williams kind of
Yeah, it's a kind of a throwback. I know. I love it, too.
And it has it has slide whistle, too. That really makes it, I think.
And it has the...
And Andy's name is mentioned in there. How good is that?
Oh, it's perfect. And our phone number.
And your phone... right. Man, that was real cool. They kind of got that in there.
Yeah, they shoehorned it in there.
You go, John Dogg.
Cool, man.
Thanks.
Talk to you later.
Thanks for the call.
Is that the only theme song you can think of with a actual working phone number
in
the theme song?
And also that guy who just called, I wish he would call as the first call every week.
Yeah.
He was so upbeat and positive.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
He's in for a disappointment. Iceberg ahead, pal. Did I ever tell you about the time? Oh, I guess I did.
No.
I did.
No. Well, the time what?
I used my actual phone number in a movie.
Yes.
I must have told you
about that.
The producer called and said, hey, we have this realtor sign in the movie.
Was it moving with Richard Pryor?
Yeah, it was moving. It was my first movie. Yeah, we don't want to put a 555 number because that looks so phony. We'd like to use your real office phone number, but the camera's just going to pan across it really fast. No one will be able to read it. That's what I was assured.
Yeah. And this was before VCR technology.
Well, no, VCR. It was on the cusp of that. It was okay. VCR. It was released in the theaters. No one saw it. No one saw the phone number because no one saw the movie.
Right. Well, I saw part of the movie, so I can understand.
Not
why.
In the theater, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you did not. I have a list of everyone that saw it in the theater.
Oh, I went under an assumed name.
Oh, okay,
of course.
That would explain it. And no one called that number. But the day it was released on video cassette. Where you could freeze the frame. Man, did that phone ring. That's one of my 8 Hollywood stories. I hope you enjoyed it.
That's a nice one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll tell some of my Hollywood anecdotes at our big animation festival.
Oh, at the Andymation Film Festival. Yeah, we have 9 listener animators now working on clips for the Andymation Festival. So thank you all. And if you would like to animate a short one or two minute long clip from the show, please email me at ken@wfmu.org. It can be any kind of animation whatsoever.
And we will screen it at our film festival, and then it will be our marathon premium. And so you're saying, let me just get this straight. You're going to take audio clips. You will select the audio clips yourself, right, Kenny?
No, I'm allowing...
You're letting them select
the clips? We have 2 hours of audio clips up in the archives, so I've been sending everybody the links to those 2 hours.
I see. So you select a couple of minutes of audio clips of Ken and I on the air, and maybe a caller, I guess, right?
Yeah.
And then you animate it, and that will be part of our... The compilation will be part of our premium. And then what kind of payment can they expect? Or,
well, they'll get an invite for themselves and their family to the debut of the Andy Mation Film Festival at Monty Hall.
Which might
very well be the first public event we've done there since the beginning of the pandemic. I think that's reward enough.
I know you think it is. It's not, but I know you think it is. It's not even close. It's kind of sad that you think that's reward enough. How many hours will they be putting in?
I don't know.
Dozens and dozens of
dozens
hours.
And dozens.
Yeah. But you get to bring you and a guest to the Monty Hall.
And they get a copy of the thing, and they get thanked by name over and over.
Will there be a jewel case, a plastic jewel case?
Whoa.
That the DVD will sit in? Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Big Spender, we'll get some jewel cases.
It can double as a coaster, perhaps, jewel case. Or I've used those jewel cases in the winter to scrape off ice off the windshield.
Exactly. Actually, most people prefer a digital download these days. Last year we gave out a DVD, or we offered a DVD of our 30th anniversary performance.
Yeah.
And most people preferred it as a digital download.
I would say most people prefer not to get either.
Oh,
do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
There are 8 billion souls on this planet.
Right, I'm just
going. We receive 32 phone calls. I would say most people passed.
Well, they didn't know about it.
It's nice to tell yourself that.
Yeah.
Whatever gets you through the night, my friend.
I like to think that if we could have told all 8 billion people on Earth that they could get the
We would have done marginally better.
Yeah, that we would have had a few dozen more orders. That's what I tell myself. Hey, listener Joe said that last week's program was one of our worst ever. Thank you, Joe.
No arguing with that.
Nope.
I was there. I was in the middle of it. How do you think I felt?
How did you feel?
I felt kind of dirty.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
I was humbled. I called you right afterwards and apologized.
Yeah.
How many of those apology phone calls from me do you get every year?
How many do you make? Because there was definitely a mechanical feeling to it. Like at the end of it.
Was it my apology phone call?
Yeah.
You weren't happy with the apology phone call?
Well, no.
It wasn't sincere enough for you?
It was sincere. But what I noted was at the end of it, you actually said these words.
Yeah.
Okay. That was my apology phone call.
Yeah.
You actually said that
as
though you were checking off
chores,
a box.
Chores to do. Fix the screen door. Fix the cistern out back.
Yep.
Apology phone call to Ken.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry it wasn't sincere enough for you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry it didn't measure up.
No, now I know what your wife goes through, I'm sure.
You have no idea what my wife goes through.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's
like,
just a taste.
Okay, that was me being compassionate. Check. Okay, that was me being loving. Check.
That was me being loving. Check.
Oh, I know you're never.
that's the secret to our marriage.
Having that checkbox.
Yeah. Sometimes I go to bed, oh, damn, I forgot to be loving.
Can I borrow your checkbox?
My little checklist, things to do. God, we're funny.
All right, so we had a show planned for tonight. Yes, that's right. If you've been looking for work.
Oh, okay. We're segueing right into it?
Yeah, because we're 15
changing
minutes
gears.
We're 15 minutes in. We should get going. So if you've been looking for a job... and have not been able to find one, and perhaps you have a large gap in your resume.
Right. There's a little hole in your in the timeline, which any, I think, employer would question you about, right? Be curious,
well,
right?
They would, I notice it when I look at resumes.
Do you ask people about it in the interview?
If it's a very long one, I might.
Like, what were you doing these 6 to 10 years?
Yeah.
And the answer almost invariably is hard time.
Rehab.
Rehab, that's right. It's rehab. Yeah. Or second marriage.
So if you have a large gap in your employment history, a hole in your resume.
This is a legitimate public service that we're offering, right,
we,
Kenny?
Yes, we want to help you. We're just looking, and we will keep you anonymous.
That's right. All we'll ask is your initials, and we will put you in touch with another listener who owns a business in your field. We'll find someone who can help you, who is willing to lie for you. They will be anonymous as well, and we'll put you in touch with each other. He'd be willing to give you a reference, a phony reference, to fill in the timeline, the gap in your resume. Now, that's a public service no other radio station will offer. I'll tell you why.
Why?
It's completely unethical.
Right.
It's not even borderline illegal. It's absolutely illegal.
I don't know if it's illegal. It's not.
No, that's illegal.
It's not illegal to lie.
No, but you could be fired if you submit an application with a lie on it.
Yeah.
With a bald-faced lie.
Right. And they catch you, they'll fire you. But they're not going to be able to take legal action against you.
I think they
you.
Can take legal action against you.
Yeah, okay.
You misrepresented yourself, and maybe a lawyer can answer the question. But anyway, I hope it is illegal, because that will make us really dangerous, edgy guys.
Right.
That's where we live.
Free. Hey, guys.
Hey, Beth, how you doing?
Oh, it's
hey,
my.
Am I the reason for the show topic? Because of my big work stoppage?
Honey, just remind me when did you stop work?
When I married you.
Yeah. Well, that's a full-time job.
Yeah.
Servicing me. That's 50 hours a week minimum. Well, honey, are you looking for someone to lie on your behalf?
We'll get
Beth has been
sure.
Beth has been clerking for me for the last 18 years.
No, and I couldn't get into the. I mean, that wouldn't get me into the Foreign Service because they vet everything.
Yeah, that's right. People that but this is supposed to be our system. If it works, should be vet proof, right, Kenny?
Right.
They can check your reference. We will have someone.
What can I say that I did for the last, there was a 15-year hole or a 16-year hole.
Maybe whoring? You were whoring?
Oh, my God.
In Trenton? You go down to Trenton? You're... You walk in the street and maybe we could get someone to say they were your pimp?
Put that on my resume.
Yeah. We just have to find a pimp.
Yeah, a pimp
or somebody
that would
willing,
swear.
Somebody willing to pretend that they were your pimp.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, let's see.
But then we have the W-2 tax problem.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's
true. Honey, this might not be able to help you.
But I just want to say good luck, you guys.
Well,
yeah,
thank you, Beth.
And thank you. If I never said this, Beth, first off, thank you for putting your life on hold when you when you met me. It's appreciated. I don't know if I've ever thanked you for that.
Sure. Hey, thanks.
This is your thank you phone call.
Oh, yeah. This is your I love you phone call.
Oh, this is me saying I love you.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Check. Done and done.
Damn.
I don't have to go through that again for another 24 hours.
Very good.
Once a day.
Yeah.
Thank you for marrying me. You know what I sometimes say to my wife?
What?
I say, thank you for marrying me. I'm sorry for marrying you.
That can be taken in a really awful way.
No. I'm saying I got the better of this deal.
Yeah, I see. Okay. All right. So we're back to looking for somebody who has an employment gap. We're thinking like maybe a year or two.
Yeah.
To
recap, we've been on the air for 17 minutes. So far, my wife has called.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yes, that's it. Why don't you give out the phone number again?
I'm just looking down the drain as we're circling it.
It's 201.
It's a beautiful drain.
209.
Here we go.
9368.
Hold my hand, Ken. We're going down that big, big, beautiful drain. Here we go, buddy.
Which way are we spinning?
We're spinning clockwise because we're in the northern hemisphere.
Yeah, that's not true. The Coriolanus effect.
No, that's just a rumor.
Yeah, we did a show about that.
Yeah. It's just a rumor, like us landing on the moon.
No, it turns out to be true, but for very, very, very large drains, very large spinning systems, like typhoons and hurricanes.
It's not true in toilet bowls?
It's not true in toilet bowls.
Well, you learn something every day.
Yep.
And unfortunately, that's what we learned today.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, if you need someone to pretend to be a pimp, I can fill in some info for them.
You don't sound like a pimp.
Yeah, you don't sound like a pimp.
Well, are you still collecting Norman Rockwell things?
Andy,
yeah.
you're the Norman Rockwell fan here.
I'm not going to buy a Norman Rockwell thing from a fake pimp.
For Norman Rockwell.
Yeah, you don't sound like a Norman Rockwell collector either.
I have some Norman Rockwell tchotchkes in the house.
Well,
you know, like little sculptures.
Yeah, you mean you got it from a gift shop?
I got it from my grandmother.
She was very tight with Norm.
Yeah.
She got it from a gift shop.
You know, a little bauble of the concerned citizen speaking up at the town hall meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy.
Well, I love your grandmother. God rest her soul.
I love your guys' show. You guys.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Yeah, you're the best.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
So we're looking for somebody who has a gap in their resume.
Wait, is this going to work at all, this little topic?
I don't. I thought it would take an hour to make it happen.
To make it happen.
You got to commit. You got to commit. This is going to be a
tough one. I'm scaring you right now, aren't I?
Yes.
You think you're losing me.
I know you're on the way out.
You think I'm wiggling off the hook.
Yes. Yes, I do. You got to commit to this. We have 40 minutes to go. We are looking for somebody who actually has a gap on their resume.
A gap in the timeline that they want to fill. We will not ask their name.
Right.
We will
correct.
Put them in touch with someone who has a business, a legitimate business, who's willing to lie and give them a phony reference. And willing to say that they worked from August 2012 to December 2015. Whatever you need in your resume.
And we'll even coach them on how to give a good reference.
Yeah, we're offering you a good reference. My God. My God. Who else comes close to that?
Yes, they were proactive. They were responsible. They got there on time every day. Do yourself a favor and hire them.
Yeah, you'd be lucky to have them.
Yeah.
You'd be lucky to have them. And if I had to list a negative, if you're forcing me to say something negative about him,
no,
I'd say maybe they care too much.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. That's how you do it. When you're running for office and you're asked to list a negative.
Right.
That's the go-to negative.
Oh, that's always the go-to negative in, what's your biggest weakness question?
Yeah, your biggest weakness.
Yeah.
Sometimes I care too much. And when I care too much, I crap my pants. So you're going to see me crapping my pants, but it's a positive thing.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, fellas, how are you doing?
Doing great now that you called. Are you out of work? Are you having trouble finding a gig?
I might be stretching the rules a little bit here, but I feel kind of badly at this point. I work in commercial film production, and you probably know in this industry there's highly competitive, so a lot of people like to tout how long they've been involved in an industry.
Yeah.
And so, you know, excuse me, I spent my early 20s actually working at a school before I got into producing and writing, so I was wondering if there was sorry, I've got a little bit of a chest thing going on.
Yeah, no, I know. There's something going around.
Well, give us your initials. We don't want to know your name because we want to preserve your anonymity.
This is AM.
AM.
AM. Okay. And what does AM stand for?
Never mind. Don't answer that question.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Anonymity. Yeah. I got you. So, AM, you want someone who is in the film or TV business, a producer, yeah. someone in a production side of things, I guess, to say, to claim that you worked for them for in what capacity and for how many years?
You know, it's a great question. I guess you could go kind of a different route with it, whether if it were early in my career and I was kind of in the trenches, kind of earning my stripes.
You mean like you were a PA somewhere?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's New York area. That would be lovely.
Okay. You were PA in New York. And what years are you looking to? What's the gap on your resume?
Really anywhere from 2011 to 2015.
All right, 2011 to 2015, and yeah. we're looking for... All right, that's great.
No, I would help you, but I just don't care enough. But,
no, yeah.
But somebody out there might...
yeah,
might
you're perfect. You're the perfect
Yeah, no,
person.
I definitely am perfect yeah. for this. But I can't get involved.
So you're a known... You're
well,
a
for one thing, here I am on the air, and I'm clearly identified as who
Right, well,
who
that
I am.
That would be a problem if anybody was listening.
Yeah. But we've taken care of that.
It's a hypothetical.
Yeah. We spent 31 long years making sure that no one's listening.
Yeah. Let's worry about the real stuff.
Okay.
Okay, AM.
AM.
We are gonna help you fill
Let's
this.
Go.
Wait. Do we keep AM on the air? Do we keep him on the line?
I don't think so.
But wait, at some point we want AM to be talking to his, quote, employer.
True.
So how does this work?
Gonna go.
So
wait,
AM,
can we get his phone number off the air?
I can't. Oh yeah, I can actually.
Okay. So hey, AM, Uncle
undermines the anonymity a little bit.
Well, no, we're going to keep you anonymous. So because if you do put this on your resume, and we hope you do,
mm-hmm.
we don't want anyone to be able to trace it back. But we are going to ask you off the air to give Ken your phone number. So he's going to pick up the phone now.
Sure.
And, Ken, what do I do while you're taking his phone number?
You should sing a show tune. AM, just
got my
your phone number.
Tweed pressed. Got my
Ooh,
best
well, I'll try,
vest. Okay. All I need
yeah.
now is the girl. Got my striped tie. Got my hopes high.
Does that include, like, the international code or anything, or...?
Got the time and the place, and I got
okay.
the rhythm.
All right,
now
so
all I need the girl to go with him. If she'll just appear, we'll take
yeah.
this big
Thanks,
town for a whirl.
Okay, we're all set.
And if she'll say, my darling, I'm yours, I'll throw away that striped tie.
Is that from Paint My Wagon?
My best pressed tweed. All I really need is the girl. That is from Gypsy.
Wow.
Steven Sondheim.
Gypsy.
Yeah. He was great, Steven Sondheim.
Yes.
Haven't heard from him lately.
Yes, he was. I believe he passed away. I played a Steven Sondheim song on my show this morning.
Here's you. I played a Steven Sondheim song on my show this morning. That's you. You can't let me have a moment.
I met him.
You can't let me have a moment.
I met Steven Sondheim.
I met him twice.
I have a Stephen Sondheim story.
The second time it was me apologizing for you.
When I met Stephen Sondheim.
That's just the way God made him, Stephen. That's me. Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You have a Stephen Sondheim story.
It was the night that one of his shows had, the day after one of his shows had just premiered.
Oh, interesting. 201-209-9368. We're looking for people. I guess we're looking for people with gaps in their resume or someone that can help AM.
No, we're looking for somebody who can cover for AM, listener AM.
That will claim he worked for them as a PA. Just a PA in the office.
Yeah, 2011 to 2015. So if you have any relationship to the entertainment industry.
In the New York area.
Yeah, then we're looking for you to cover for listener AM.
And if no one calls, I guess we'll go back to your Stephen Sondheim story.
Yeah.
So it's the day after something opened.
Well, we got to commit to this. We're looking for somebody to cover for AM.
But no one's calling.
Yeah.
And what, you were in the bar? You were in a bar in New York?
No, it was intermission at a show.
Oh, okay. You were at the theater.
Yeah, I was at the theater, and I was with a New York Times writer, hanging out with somebody who wrote for the New York Times.
Hey, your brother wrote for the New York Times. Maybe it's someone that your brother knew, right?
Yes, maybe.
You're so funny.
Okay, and so I'm hanging out with my brother.
Oh! I solved that mystery.
Yeah. And he runs into Stephen Sondheim.
And he knew Stephen Sondheim.
And he knew Stephen Sondheim because at the time my brother was covering the business of Broadway.
Okay. So he introduced you.
And Stephen Sondheim.
We have a call.
Okay. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
It answers the question, why don't I have any friends?
I work in the entertainment industry.
You do?
And I'm looking at my resume, seeing what I could do. You said 2015 to 2019?
No, I'm sorry. It was a little earlier than that, if it works for you. 2011 to 2015. But any time, I think, prior to 2015 would help.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at my resume now. There's a couple of things that no one would ever be able to track.
Wait, and you can claim that. Now, don't tell us your name.
Give us your initials, though.
EC.
EC, and that stands for what?
Don't fall for it.
Oh, yeah. Don't tell me.
Yeah.
So, EC, you were in some managerial or producing position. Is that correct?
Yeah. Should I just run down what I did from
2011
to 2015.
Well, let's get AM on the phone. Let's get them together.
Yeah.
This is fantastic.
Yeah, and then AM to just decide which.
Hold on. We're going to get AM. Wait. Hold on. EC, AM is going to join us. And you two can cook up your little lie.
I think this could work.
I think it could work. I think you're doing God's work here.
I don't know why you thought this was a ridiculous idea.
It's illegal. It's unethical. It's amoral. And that's why, if you're asking why.
Yeah, that's how this business works.
Yeah, exactly. Those are the only reasons. We only have three reasons why.
AM, hang on a second.
Okay.
All right, AM's back. AM, meet EC. EC, meet AM.
Hello there.
EC, how are you?
Yeah, now EC was just telling us what he what positions he held
sure.
just before 2015, and he was also willing to give you a glowing reference, AM. So we'll let you two figure it out. But just don't – and then after
– Here's how it's going to work. I would like both –
Here's how it's going to work.
Both AM
and – I would like both – go ahead, Ken. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Both AM and EC.
Yeah, we'd like both of you, AM and EC. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ken.
They should both email me.
Oh, yeah. I see. Both of you, after this conversation, both of you email Ken at WFMU.
Ken at WFMU.org.
.org. Ken at WFMU.org.
Thank you for translating.
You're
for
welcome.
Me. I really appreciate
so
it.
So Ken will hook you guys up together after this show.
See, we really thought about how to preserve your anonymity here.
Great, appreciate it.
Okay, so
not a problem.
So EC, what can you offer AM?
Okay, what AM? What year do you want? What's your biggest concern as far as your gap? Which year?
I think the earlier the better. So I started working as a media manager in 2015. And so I'm looking to get kind of anything that gestures a little bit more towards being, you know, on location, on set, that sort of thing.
Yeah. For what years, AM?
Oh, sorry. Anything like 2011, 2012, earlier the better.
Okay.
All right. 2011, 2012. I produced a show with Joy Behar.
Excellent.
Great. Two of them, one on CNN and another one after that was canceled on Current TV. That
could
was even Current TV because that doesn't even exist anymore. It
perfect.
Was bought by,
could we say, EC, could we say,
Golden Network.
EC, could we say that AM's job was to give Joy Behar a sponge bath after every show?
Oh, that was my job.
Oh, that was your job. Okay.
Sorry.
He could be the assistant to the sponge bather.
I can take that off my resume and have him do that instead. I don't mind.
Now, what do you, now? What do you, now? What could AM's duties have been for working under you?
Well, it could be anything because the network doesn't even exist anymore. There is no way for anyone to even tell if he was telling the truth or not. The network was bought by the Emir of Qatar.
Wow!
For like
it's perfect.
$500 million.
Yeah, he outbid me for that.
Years,
yeah.
Okay.
So what do you think would look best, AM? What would be your dream job if you had if you were just creating a job on your resume?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's sort of the title and the role, and then there's kind of a narrative that comes along with it. So I think it would be kind of neat if I were working in kind of a menial position, but perhaps, I don't know if there was a real kind of flagship episode of this series that you worked on, but maybe I could have suggested something, right?
How about research associate? That's always something that's hard to prove.
Yeah.
That could be anything.
Now, EC, I don't know if you just heard what AM was saying. AM was saying he's flattered and grateful. He'd love to have worked as your research assistant, but he also would love if there was one aspect of the production that he could claim he contributed to, or he created. Perhaps, is there anything he could claim he created?
Waist. We didn't have anybody who specifically dealt with the arrangements of the guests when they arrived. That sort of thing.
Okay.
Like, so,
guest services or, that sounds better than just like craft services and sounds something.
Yeah, that's fantastic because that shows that you can think on your feet, you're nimble, you're handling. You're handling the concerns of these celebrities as they came in, their travel concerns.
Guest talent coordinator.
Talent coordinator, the logistics of bringing them in and out of the studio. Now, EC, is there one incident that that AM could say he put out a fire, he solved the problem?
Yeah.
Oh, every day we had something like that.
Can you think of anything in particular? Did Joy Behar ever catch fire? Had to extinguish her? Somebody had to have the presence of mind to find a fire extinguisher?
You mean like spontaneous combustion?
Ken. Make it real, Ken. It has to. You know, she leaned. She was cooking something. There was a hot plate.
Oh, we did have vermin in the building.
Oh, there were rats in the building.
And we had a leaky ceiling. Those two things, that building now is where the I guess Time Warner is now, by the Lincoln Tunnel.
Yeah. So, AM, congratulations. You were Joy Behar's rat catcher.
We had rats. We had cockroaches.
Mice. Yeah. Fantastic.
But you can also say research associate and talent coordinator.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, EC and AM, you both email me at ken@wfmu.org. We did it. I think we can maybe do another one.
Or we could find a 25-minute song and go home. Leave a winner. Walk away a winner.
Knights in White Satin.
All right,
Ken's going to put you in touch with you. Hey, you two might end up getting together and being friends.
I'm looking to hire somebody right now for something.
Wait a minute. You really are? You have a position opening?
Well, AM, I'm going to hook you guys up, so...
What position? AM, are you looking for a gig right now? Oh, he obviously is. That's why he called.
Yeah.
I'm freelance.
But that would... I'm sorry, that would contradict what we're trying to do here on the show. We don't want them actually to find each other a job.
You're right. Yeah, AM, you're not...
We want AM to still be wandering in the desert.
Right.
And I would probably not hire him because he's a little dishonest.
Yeah, exactly. He lied on his resume. We know that for sure. He was not Joy Behar's rat catcher.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Feels like a real bait and switch.
He was Joy Behar's rat handler.
Yeah, he was the rat handler. Yeah.
Joy Behar and her little rat circus.
Yeah. Oh, wait, you're mishandling Benny. You're holding him too roughly. That's my impression of Joy Behar.
Right. Ben.
Yeah, Ben.
Yeah. You haven't seen any of these rat movies.
I have. Well, like, you mean you're talking about Ben and then...
Ben and Willard.
Well, Willard came first. Ben was the sequel.
Right. Did you see the remake of Willard with Crispin Glover?
Yes.
Did you really?
Yeah, because I'm working on a horror movie.
Are you really?
Yeah, about rats, yeah.
No, get out of town.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, that was my little research. Yeah, I'm working. Well, I'm not going to write it. I have found a very talented young writer. He's going to write it.
So you're just...
I'm just going to count the money, make sure it's all there.
Nice. Nice.
You know those guys with the briefcase? They clip open they clack open the briefcase, and there's just piles of cash.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you're $4,000 short. You know those guys?
The Jews. Is this who you're referring to?
The Jews? Is that what you said? I just want to make sure I heard you, Ken Friedman. The Jews?
Yeah.
That's what you just said?
I believe that is what I just said.
Well, if it's true, it's not offensive. I can't get mad at you.
Were they really Jewish? The guys with the briefcase? Please, get me off the hook here. It's got to be true. Otherwise.
I believe the Jews sold him the briefcase at the luggage shop.
With the money in it already?
Yeah, at Irving's luggage shop. No, you can't get a briefcase with money already in it.
Oh, damn.
Well, listen, we're done. Our job here is done.
Well, we could do it one more time.
No! That was perfect. Let's go home.
All right, let's go to the phones.
No. Let's go home.
Hi, you're on the air.
Wait, Ken.
Hey, I have a horror movie pitch for Andy.
We're going to put you on hold for just a second. I'm dying to hear it, and I'm very grateful you called. I'm just going to put you on hold for a second.
I really am dying to hear it.
You really want to hear it?
Well, you could teach him how to pitch it if he goes on too long.
I don't want to give pitching lessons.
Yeah. No, okay. So you don't want him to pitch it.
This is my nightmare.
He sounded
really good.
He sounded
You didn't tell me it was really good. You should lead with that.
All right, go ahead then.
So it's Rosemary's Baby, but the kid grows up.
Yeah.
And then it's Kramer versus Kramer because Satan wants the kid back.
So they go to court and they have a court battle over who has custody of the devil.
Well, not a court battle per se, but to the divorce.
They go through a divorce. Well, I believe Ira Levine, who wrote Rosemary Baby, he wrote a sequel to Rosemary.
He did?
He did.
Wow.
He did?
Yes, he did. And I bet, and because all of his books were made into movies, I bet the rights have been sold.
I've always wondered why there was never a sequel. It seems perfect.
You'll be locked out of that.
Perfect for a sequel.
Thanks
for your pitch.
Oh, dear God.
Okay, nightmare over, Andy.
That is the nightmare call. I have a pitch for Andy.
I have ended your nightmare. Check.
Let's go home.
Check
20
box.
Minutes. It's a gift. God has given us a gift.
What are we going to do
God
for 20
God has come down and kissed us on the cupola.
We have to keep blabbering until it's time for...
No, we don't.
Weekly.
No, we don't. Let me go in the record library.
Weekly World
Let me come
Blues.
Back with something. A 20-minute song.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you.
But you have to really come back.
Yeah. A 20-minute.
Yeah. So how long are you going to stay in the...
No, I'm coming back.
Andy Breckman has gone into the record library to look for a 20-minute track. He doesn't know how the library's laid out, so chances are he's not going to actually be able to find anything he likes. Hi, you're on the air.
That is perfect.
Hey, man.
Done and done.
Play In a God of the Vita and go home.
Andy, you're getting requests now.
No.
Let me see what you got here.
Let's play side two. 20 minutes long. We can go home.
Why? You picked out a Laurie Anderson record.
Doesn't matter. Just it was under A. We can go home, Ken. It's our ticket out of here.
Look at you.
It's our ticket to freedom.
You actually picked out a decent record.
Yeah, Ken, it looks like a record. It's our ticket out of this joint. we can sign off.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to wheel over here.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you're going to love this. This is, what's her name?
Laurie Anderson.
Oh, yeah. Fans of the show, I think, will really appreciate the beautiful musical stylings of Laurie Anderson. Tell us something about Laurie Anderson.
You tell us something about Laurie Anderson.
Wait, was she involved with Lou Reed?
Yes, very
she
good.
She was?
Yes, wow.
She was his widow, actually?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
They were.
Is she still around? Is she still with us?
Very much.
And she is a fan of the station?
Yep.
Uh-huh. Well, that tells you something right there.
So this is great that you've chosen a Laurie Anderson.
And do you know this particular LP, the one I picked out at random?
No, this is one of her later ones.
Okay, what is it called?
It's called Strange Angels.
Okay, about circa what year?
I'm looking for the year.
Have you ever met this woman?
It looks like 89. No, I've never met her. I believe 89.
Oh, okay. 89?
Yeah. With a front and back cover by Robert Mapplethorpe. Look at that.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Robert Mapplethorpe.
You know about him?
I do. In fact, we had an apartment in New York
uh-huh.
at 1/5th Avenue. We no longer have that apartment. But
yeah.
it was the apartment we had. It was just a studio, a very small space, 300 mm-hmm. square feet.
I remember.
It had you've seen it, right?
Yeah.
It had a steel-reinforced door
mm-hmm.
with a very, very heavy-duty bolt lock.
Wow, and, my God. What was behind the door? It must have been something very dangerous.
Well, I'll tell you why it had that door. Because years earlier, I believe a couple of tenants prior to me purchasing it,
mm-hmm.
Robert Mapplethorpe used that studio
uh-huh.
to store his photographs.
Ooh.
And I guess they were so valuable that he reinforced the door with that lock.
I remember that door.
Yeah.
Wow. Can you tell the Robert Mapplethorpe story again?
Yes. I no longer own it, but there was a studio apartment at 1/5th Avenue that I owned at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a steel-reinforced door.
Oh, I remember that place.
With a bolt lock.
Oh, my God. What was behind the bolt-lock steel door? It must have been something
dangerous. When I was there, there was nothing valuable or dangerous. But a couple of tenants prior to me purchasing it, we were told Robert Mapplethorpe owned it.
Wow.
Or perhaps, I'm sorry, maybe his lawyer owned it. Mm-hmm. But Robert Mapplethorpe used that studio to store his photographs, which I guess were quite valuable.
Wow. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
Can you tell the Robert Mapplethorpe story again?
Well, it's funny you mention it. I do have a Robert Mapplethorpe story. Although I never met him, of course.
Yeah.
But I did own a studio apartment.
Your old that old tiny studio.
Yeah, very small, 300 square feet.
Right.
And you were there. You might remember the door had been reinforced.
Yep.
It's very strange.
I remember.
It had a very heavy bolt lock. And we learned later. I think we learned, you know how we learned it? Bethy was reading Patti Smith's memoirs.
Uh-huh. And she gave detailed instructions on where Robert Mapplethorpe's photographic stash was.
Wait, I don't know if it was in Patti Smith's book or there was another book about Robert Mapplethorpe, maybe a biography of him. But we learned somehow that our apartment was, in effect, used as storage for his photographs, which I gather were quite valuable.
Very, very cool.
Yeah. That's my Robert Mapplethorpe story.
That's a great story.
Let's hear a little bit from Laurie Anderson, his very talented widow.
Well, she's an artist in her own right. Feels odd calling her Lou Reed's widow.
Yeah.
Of course, had her own career, independent of Lou Reed.
A lot of women do that now. A lot of women, they don't live in the shadow of their husbands. They have their own. Yeah, exactly.
She was an extremely
empowered woman.
Performance artist.
Nothing wrong with that.
And recording artist.
Yeah.
Long before she and Lou Reed hooked up.
Yeah. And Lou Reed apparently gave her permission to continue recording.
Well, I don't think she required his permission to continue.
Huh. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
They were a modern couple.
Fascinating.
Yep.
All right, let's hear a little bit.
All right. I want to warn you, though, Bobby McFerrin does some of the vocals on this album.
Oh, that's so cool to bring him in. He did Don't Worry, Be Happy. Yeah. Now, you're scanning the lyrics because you want to make sure there's nothing
yes,
you need
to censor.
Yes,
very important. Very important, yeah, that we make sure that there's nothing.
Oh, just play with them. Just look at the lyrics for one song.
Nothing too dirty.
Yeah. Does she cover anything from Gigi?
No.
Oh, well, that would be safe.
Yep. Nope.
Okay, so you're scanning the lyrics.
Yeah, Anton Fear plays drums on this album.
Okay, so you're scanning the lyrics, looking for a safe song.
David Van Tiegum.
Okay, just play a song.
Well, I do have my Stephen Sondheim story.
Okay, and we'll get to that in a minute. Let's just play. We've been talking about this woman. People might be curious.
Okay, here we go.
So this is doing double duty. It's entertaining you,
This is the title track, by the way, Andy.
And it's avoiding Ken's Stephen Sondheim story.
This is the song Strange Angels, Andy, by Laurie Anderson.
This is the title track?
Yeah.
Beautiful. I love this part. Listen, listen. I hate this part, though. Listen.
That sounds pretty similar to the part you love.
You don't know what the hell you're talking about. Here they come. This part's okay.
No, this is now the song. That was just an intro. Now the song has really begun. You know how
Here they come. Here they come, she's singing. Something's coming, Ken.
The angels, probably. The strange angels. It was one of those
days, larger than life. So she sees angels coming, but she has the presence of mind to continue singing. I'd be crapping my pants.
Are you getting what's happening here?
The angels are coming. Here they come.
No, your friends came over for dinner, and they stayed the night, and they ate everything in the damn refrigerator.
That's what's happening in the song?
Yeah, and then they stayed up all night in the living room crying.
Why?
Why don't you listen to the song?
Why don't you just tell me?
It turns out that the friends, your friends who came over and ate everything are angels. They're strange angels. Crying all night long. Why would angels be so sad, so damn sad?
Well, why would angels eat and be so gluttonous?
That's true. Maybe
you never think about angels having the munchies.
That's true. Maybe it takes a really long time to come down from heaven.
Or another theory, I'm just throwing it out there. Uh-huh. Maybe the song is stupid.
Well, you know what else the angels did?
Yeah, what?
Is they left millions of tiny teardrops all over the house.
Those damn angels.
Hanging in midair sometimes.
They come as a guest. They come for dinner. A million teardrops in the house.
Oh, look at
that. Can you imagine how mad Lou Reed was? These guests come over. They eat out everything. They eat the whole refrigerator. And they leave this mess behind.
Well, this was long before she hooked up with Lou Reed. That's Scott Johnson on guitar, by the way.
Oh, yeah, let's listen.
Yeah. There he is.
Yeah, listen. There he is. I love this part.
Scott Johnson was the John Somebody guy.
Shh, Ken.
This is
Ken, let him play. I'm sorry. Now, what were you saying?
Yeah, that Scott Johnson, who's playing guitar, put out a record called John Somebody.
Oh, he did?
Yep.
Oh, that's fascinating.
And
wow, you heard it here, kids.
Got played a lot on FMU.
Really? So the guitarist here put out a solo album that got played on this station?
A lot.
A lot, apparently.
It was a huge hit.
Yeah, there you go. Unfortunately, we already learned something new today.
I think we already learned our new thing for the day.
Yeah, we did. What was it?
Earlier.
What was it? I can't remember either.
Yeah, I've forgotten. So I guess we didn't really learn it very well.
No. That's my trademark move. I learn it and it's gone.
Wait till the next song, Andy, because the next song is about going to the body shop, going to the auto body shop.
Oh, I thought the next song was about changing the locks on your door so the angels can't come back.
Nope. It's about taking your car to the body shop to get your FM radio fixed or, to have it installed.
Oh, Lori Anderson, she's just like one of us. She's a regular person.
Oh, no, okay, I got it wrong. She wants the auto body store to somehow install a speaker for the FM radio into her mouth.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's dedication.
What's the name of this song?
She probably wanted to do that so she could listen to WFMU.
In her mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't want that? It's everyone's dream, isn't it, Ken?
Yeah.
What's the name of this song?
Who was it who would bite the piano? There was some... Jeez Louise. The song is called Monkey's Paw. Oh, yeah, it was Thomas Edison. As Thomas Edison was going deaf, he had a piano. And he would have his associates. The only way he could hear music was by biting the piano. And getting the vibrations of the piano going into his teeth. I want stereo FM installed in my teeth. See? Did you hear that? She said, I want stereo FM installed in my teeth. Well, I'm here.
Why don't you give me some of those high-heeled feet? I'm just consumed with rage right now.
Yeah, I know. Why is that?
I don't know.
Yeah. Devin says John Somebody rules.
That's his name, John somebody?
Yeah, why are you so angry? Let's explore this. What just made you so angry? My Thomas Edison story?
Yes.
Why? Isn't because, that you know, interesting that you know, he was deaf and the only way he could hear music was by literally biting the piano?
Maybe I'm mad because it was so interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Because like, it puts my Thomas Edison story to shame.
Oh, well, let's go ahead. Let's listen to your Thomas Edison story.
No, it can't compare to your Thomas Edison story.
You don't really.
From this point on, that thing about biting the piano.
Yeah.
After he went deaf. That's my Thomas Edison story. I'm taking it.
You don't have a Thomas. Yeah,
I do. I have my Thomas Edison story is that he coined the word hello.
Oh, that's good.
And that seems like the greatest contribution a man can make. It's something that's
man,
used.
I know, man. That's really hard to
of
make.
Of all his inventions.
It's hard to coin a word and have the word take off. But I guess he made the invention to go along with the word.
Talk about going viral.
Yeah.
Kids, you don't even know what viral is.
Hello.
He coined the word hello.
Yeah.
Hey, we got an email from Pam.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Pam.
Pam took us up on our offer.
Oh, Pam's you're going to fly out? That was weird. Like last week you felt guilty or something.
I'm going to give her some air miles, and it was her idea to come out on Valentine's Day.
Excellent.
Come out in February.
Excellent. Huh, if I'm not here, you can do the show with Pam.
I was about to say, I actually might be busy in February.
Yeah, I am taking a week off in February.
Where are you going?
Going skiing.
Oh my God, that is an amazing coincidence.
Are you going skiing?
I'm
going
to be skiing right behind you.
You don't know how to ski. How are you enjoying the Laurie Anderson?
That's going to be my vacation, skiing right behind you.
That's a nightmare.
Look out, Ken, look out for that tree.
That's a horror movie.
It's a bad horror movie.
Are you enjoying the Laurie Anderson?
No.
I didn't think you would.
I might if I could really focus on it. When was the last time you played Laurie Anderson?
Good question. Oh, I've recently pulled out some old stuff by her, but I don't think I did actually play it.
What is her claim to fame? What is the album or song that most people would recognize?
Well, she had a hit with Oh Superman. That was her big hit.
Oh, it was a mainstream hit?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, it actually got a hell of a lot of airplay when it came out.
I'm glad Lou Reed found someone to share his life with.
Well, you know, he didn't get together with Laurie Anderson until he was already fairly old.
Still, I'm glad he didn't.
But you're
die
happy. You're happy for him. You're glad he didn't die alone.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
You're not going to die alone, Ken.
No, no.
I've made arrangements.
Because you'll be right behind me.
Well, yeah, I'll be right behind you. I'll be the guy saying I tried to warn him about the tree.
Oh, listen to this. It's a new song. This is the third song. Now. Oh, this is called Coolsville. You can probably relate to this.
Wait, Ricky Lee Jones had a song later called Coolsville. Oh, no, I guess Ricky Lee Jones had a song before that called Coolsville. Maybe it's the same song.
Could be.
Wait, let me see. Let me see the lyrics.
Coolsville. Hey, thank you.
No, that's not.
No?
That's a different song.
Thank you to Jeremiah.
Same title.
Yeah, thank you to Jeremiah.
Different lyrics.
And Heather.
Wait, I'm not done. Different melody.
Once again,
different artist entirely.
If you would like to animate a clip for the Animation Film Festival, please contact me at ken@wfmu.org. We're looking for animators of all stripes, any kind of animation whatsoever.
And we're going to have an actual screening in Monty Hall.
Yep.
And the compilation will be our...
It'll be the Marathon Premium.
Marathon Premium. That can't fail. That's an exciting premium.
Yeah, it is. I'm excited by it.
What did we give out last year? Was that pillowcases?
No. What did we give out? Oh, last year was the 30th anniversary DVD.
And what was the year before that? Tea bags?
With Richard Thompson.
Did we ever give tea bags out?
Nope. Tea bagging on your mind. Nope. Never gave out tea bags.
Where the biggest says, hey, dunk this. From Andy and Ken.
We gave out the pillowcases. Your pillowcase is great. I've actually seen your pillowcase on people's pillows.
I wouldn't go near it.
It was a Name That Stain pillowcase.
Oh, yeah, it had a little game on it.
Yep. Yeah, it was the only pillowcase you can actually play.
Man, we've been doing this too long.
This is WFMU East Orange.
Dear God.
WMFU Mount Hope. In New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online.
I can't even go home tonight. I have to go back to the city.
Online at WFMU.org. We will not be back next week.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I'll be traveling.
Andy and Fred. Sorry. Alan and Fred. Sue Braun's guests who have worked at a New Jersey deli their whole lives. And she had them on a couple of weeks ago. They're going to be flying solo. Sue will be there to help them along. To answer all your retail and customer service questions.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
What do you need me for ever? Give him this time slot.
Can I?
Yeah. Wait, are you kidding? That's fantastic. I'm free. So get out of jail free card.
That's how 7 second delay ends.
Yeah,
me giving it to Fred and Alan.
The parole board has said, we're going to give you another chance. You're free to walk. Well, let's consider it.
Yeah, they have a name of a show. The name of the show is Women and Children First, After Fred and Alan. That's their show title.
Oh, that's actually fantastic.
Yeah, next Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve, 6 to 7 p.m. And Sue Braun will also be with them. Right now, stay tuned for Weekly World Blues with Matt Fiveash. Dinner at Andy's waits for you.
Sound of the blues scale. The blues scale is very simple, very useful, but also very simple to build. All you have to do is know your minor pentatonic scales. So in this case, I was playing A.
The blues come so many different ways until it's kind of hard to explain.
Nest for a sweet little pigeon, but she flapped her wings and flew.